Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and we're going to cover a couple of different topics today. And one's just about understanding the world from a man's view, and if you get around someone that's destructive, some things that you need to look at, because I promise you, people will steal your soul and go eat lunch and not give you a second thought. So part of being a man is to be able to protect that and not get in situations and not be around people that's going to screw you up. And this can be both female and male. Before we get started, though, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They have a full line of trapping supply equipment. They've got lures. They got stuff for hogs, bear, deer, fish, amazing predator call deals all the time. Sodium benzoate, glycerin, wire stretchers. Funky does a ton of stuff. And more than just doing a ton of stuff, it's the type of company you want to work with. That's the reason I personally work with them. And I have been way before they were a sponsor. So without further ado, I want to get started on the first topic that we have. And it's going to be some audio, but I want you to listen to this. And if some of this gets really close to home, guys, either from you doing it or somebody else doing it, you really need to get all that stuff lined out. Because life's just too short for stupid stuff. Okay. Wait a minute. Okay, let me get this turned up.
She uses to abuse and...
Because there's nice...
Today, we are going to talk about the female narcissist and her top five manipulation tactics that she uses to abuse and control other people. Number one, the female narcissistic abuser loves to utilize the silent treatment. This is consistently the number one abuse tactic I hear about from my male clients. And let me tell you, these women can do the silent treatment for long, long periods of time. Nothing quite gets the message across that you are being punished or that you are worthless quite as effectively as not speaking to you or not even acknowledging your existence. Is famous for utilizing withholding love or affection or sex in order to get you in line with whatever it is she wants. Remember, the name of the game is power and control. And if you are in a relationship with someone you believe you love and who loves you, having her withhold love and affection can be devastating to a person. Number three, the female narcissist is notorious for utilizing guilt trips in order to get you in line with whatever it is she wants. Never underestimate the power that guilt has to keep you indebted or loyal to a narcissistic woman. It's an incredibly powerful manipulation and abuse tactic that she has absolutely no problem exploiting. Number four, the female narcissist is really good at shaming, humiliating, or emasculating a victim to kick off a long devaluing cycle. This statement might be disguised as a joke, so if you are rightfully offended, she can say, I was just joking, or it could be disguised as fake concern, or it could be a passive-aggressive put-down, or it could be a triangulating comparison, where she compares you to an old partner in a degrading and offensive manner. All narcissists tend to extract joy and happiness over their ability to humiliate or emasculate a victim. Number five, the female narcissist loves to utilize gaslighting and projection against a victim to abuse and manipulate them. Of course, we all know narcissists utilize these tactics, and the female narcissist isn't an exception from this rule. So she is going to project the things that she is guilty of doing onto the victim, and she will insist these things that you are these things or that you are guilty of doing these things.
Because there's nice guys and there's good men. Like, nice guys are passive aggressive, emotional, no core values, backstabbing, not great husbands, not protectors and providers. And then good men are savage servants, confident, capable men who will stand in the gap and be ferocious, but who will come home to their kids, lay down and let their kids crawl all over them.
Okay. I played those two back to back. One is a psychiatrist that was explaining what female narcissists are. And the reason I played the second one, where it describes the difference between what he's going to call good guys, or some people call beta males, some people call soy boys, immature males, stuff like that, they act exactly the same as a female narcissist. They try to humiliate, they try to gaslight, they try to ignore you as punishment. Of course, if it's two guys in a normal heterosexual relationship, I guess withholding sex doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But they can withhold, going out, doing things y'all normally do is a form of punishment to get their way and to make somebody else squirm. Guys do this too. So before female gets all upset because I was saying what female narcissists do, it's a fact of life that there are people that go and spend their entire life manipulating everybody around them, trying to just be mean, nasty people, and they always want to do it with, like a smile, and, it's I'm the victim and everything. So it's females and males. Strong men, real men, they don't play those games of the narcissist. That's not something that works. Say you have two guys that are both strong males and there's an issue. Well, the correct response that men have been doing for eons is the two men get together and they work it out, or they end up fighting or something like that. But it's face to face. And it's trying to use communication, because if people are honest about 90% of the crap that everybody gets mad about today with partners or politics or whatever, 95% of it, it's just a badly formed opinion based on bad information. Just like COVID, sending VA doctors away from a VA patients the way Biden's getting ready to do, to send them to help inoculate illegals coming across the border. And the reason I wanted to bring this up, because I see this more and more, and as I get older, I seem to be more sensitive to it. And this can come from a lot of different directions. Now, what I'm getting ready to say, I want you to take with a grain of salt. But it's something in my life that I've seen manipulation on that is brutal. And at my age of 53, I can tell you it will not happen to me ever again. But when I was younger and I've watched people do this and I've had it done to me several times, not only can it be friendship or politics, you quit being a friend with somebody because they're not vaxxed or some crazy crap like that. But I can tell you right now, religion can be one of the most misabused and manipulating tactics all through our history. When you go back and look at actual history before or during the Dark Ages, in the Middle Ages, before there was an Enlightenment where people realized that, there's more to the world than this, kings and serfs. You had this power that religion used, which had nothing to do with religion, the religion itself, But when you look at all the history, especially like in Europe, because there's so much of it, the people that need to die the most at that time period were priests. They were massive manipulators. They caused amounts of destruction that's just unimaginable today, and the pain they cause people, because they can always say it's the word of God. Well, we don't have that today, but I've met several people that try to get deals in business. They try to get you to do what they want you to do, even though it's very inconvenient. They try to shame and guilt you by, you're a Christian, right? You know, I mean, would Jesus like what you're thinking about this and all that? I've seen that growing up, and I've had it happen to me. And I can tell you that crap don't happen now. But do not manipulate people with religion, because it's a cheap shot, because there's a lot of emotional baggage that goes along with that, and you're doing it just to get your way. So you have female narcissists, you got beta males that are weak males that act just like the female, and then you've got people that use religion or politics or something like that. And my advice to anybody that ever listens to me, when you get around somebody like that, shut it down and walk away. Because I'm telling you, people that are like that are like pigs, and they will want you to be in the mud and the crap with them. And they will keep rolling and jabbing and doing everything. And if you give in to them, you're giving so much power to another person that eventually that will start eating at you, because you know you're getting manipulated and you do it anyway. So why am I bringing this up? One, if you catch yourself as a grown man dealing with another grown man, and you go through any of those steps to try to get your way like the female narcissists do, you need to have a come to Jesus meeting with yourself. And you need to go, am I going to be a bitch or am I going to be a male? And most people today choose bitch, because it's uncomfortable to confront somebody, especially if you know them, over something that's not going to be an easy subject. So it's easy to run away, and it's easy to do that. So if you catch yourself doing this as a male, you need to step back and realize what you're doing. And if you want to be a really good man, you don't play those games. The other reason is, if you have sons and daughters and you see these traits start popping up, especially if you have a son, you need to get that fixed quick. Because you're going to have somebody that gets used to that, and they're going to fall on the weaker man side almost every single time. And that is not your job, to raise weak men. It's the opposite. And if you have a daughter that's doing this, it's your job to instruct her where she fully understands how destructive that is, so she's not married 16 times with 14 different baby daddies before in a nursing home. Because I promise you, it when you look around the world, and I saw lots of divorce in the military. We're gone for long periods of time, very young people. A lot of people just made very stupid mistakes, and it cost them a lot. And I've seen a lot of the type of manipulation and backstabbing that was going on during those. I mean, I'd have people that the guy that say that his wife hadn't talked to him in a week, and had sex in 9 months, you know. And basically what you should explain to your daughters is, if you truly want a divorce, go get a divorce. Because if you withhold sex, you're going to end up getting a divorce. That's how a guy's eventually going to get released. And it's not going to be with her because she's playing games. And then she wants to be the victim, and she's not really the victim. I'm not saying the dude is right when it happens. But she's no more of a victim than anything else by going down that direction. And part of the thing that I think daughters need to learn in our modern day of instant fame because of social media, and everybody wants to be a gamer instead of a tradesman, and all of this, well, because we have a very narcissistic society right now. It's all about me in a very selfish way, and it's getting worse. But if you have daughters that are going to play those games, it's not going to work out very well for them in the end. That's how all of a sudden you wake up one day and you get a call from your daughter saying, you know, she's 48 years old. She's been a stay-at-home mom or whatever she's doing. And I don't understand why Jimmy was out cheating and he wants a divorce. A lot of times that is because of the women. And there's some things that girls need to know if they want to have a good relationship. One is guys need sex. Need. Not want. Need. Or they'll go crazy. The other is if a daughter wants to have the actual love of their husband, you don't want to be a nag. You want to take every opportunity to let him know that you appreciate what he does. If he's working out, make some nice comments every now and then. If he's working his ass off at a job, let him know when he comes home how much you appreciate that and the sacrifices and stuff like that. Simple stuff like that is how marriages work. But just like the school does not teach you how to invest your money so you end up an employee your whole life, or start a business so you're an employee your whole life, it's the same people that's telling third graders how cool it is to be a different gender and anal sex is just the cat's meow with your other, you know, third graders. That is it any wonder that kids today don't have a clue what it's like to actually be in a good marriage? Because what's the example at home? See, that's where the work is to raise good sons and daughters so they don't have to have such a sucky life because of bad decisions over really ignorance of how the other sex thinks. And your son needs to know that there's got to be more with a physical relationship with your wife than just sex. Because that's not going to work out long term either. So let all this kind of roll around in your head. Are you being a narcissist? Are you raising narcissist? Or are you putting up with narcissist if you're dating, or Lord help you if you've got one and you're married to her, because I know your life's miserable. You don't want to be put in that situation. So if you're dating guy or girl and you start seeing these traits come out of somebody, no matter how cute or handsome they are or how much money they have or the right things they say most of the time, your kids and you should be trained to see manipulation so you don't get involved in it, so it doesn't wreck your life. And that's a pretty harsh thing to say now, because people's got different relationships and they talk different to each other, and I get all that. But there's certain needs that have to be met, and you don't use them for punishment. Because if you do, just go ahead and get the divorce, because that's what you're asking for. All right, second thing I want to talk about, guys, is I've talked a little bit about old man conjugate, and I am constantly playing around with different things. Now, What I want to talk to, there's different pillars in what I'm considering old man conjugate. And one of them is strength. When I talk to older guys that are my age, I'm not talking 80s and 90s. I'm talking 30 to my age at early 50s. Because when you have a little bit more muscle than most people your age around you, people notice, and it'll bring up conversations. And it's amazed me how many of these conversations has went into, yeah, I lift weights, but I don't want to get hurt. I can't afford to get hurt. So if they do lift weights, it's almost like going through the motions of never trying to go up in weight hardly, push more reps, actually get in the workout and work. It's more like a rehab center, and you're doing some goofy thing with your elbow or something, and it's not really doing much. That's kind of what it seems to be, that older people think is safer. But it's not. Strength is not something to be afraid of. Strength actually makes you more resilient. If you're weak, you're going to fall a lot. If you don't work on your balance, you're going to fall a lot. Stuff's going to break. It's going to get twisted. You're going to tear ligaments. And all you have to do is look at the causation of death. And the highest one in older age is falling and breaking stuff, because they don't have the physical strength nor the balance. And we all used to. We grew up with it. 3 years old, you had really good strength for your body weight, and you were very mobile, and you had great balance. When you quit using all that, it goes away. Now, we're going to get into balance, because there's certain things that I think as you get older, you should spend maybe, 5 minutes a day on balance, 20 minutes once a week, something to try to get a little bit more athletic. Because if you get around guys that are 50 and you got to do anything, you'll realize how precarious everyday life is for people that are weak. They're always on the edge of getting hurt. Now, a strong person, it takes a lot to get them on the edge of getting hurt. And for some reason, which mystifies me, is when older guys, even younger guys today, because now I think it's because everybody wants to find the easy way to do it and still get the best results, which you don't get, but it's a way to justify not having to work that hard when you go to the gym, is now it's all about high reps and very low weights. Can you build muscle? Yes. It's very different. So part of the conjugate system from Westside Barbell, Louis Simmons, is you have different things that are set up, and one of them is called max effort. And this gets very confusing to people that haven't spent a lot of time researching what that actually is. But it's a way for your body and your nervous system to be able to function and fire pretty much at will when you need to do something. You start to fall, you can get muscles in movement with enough strength not to just completely, fall down and break your leg or something. Or you got to move something and you're not laid up for 3 days because your back hurts because you have like nothing left, and that little bit of exercise about kills you. So max effort is very simply, one day a week you do something that is heavy, which is going to help your tendons, and it's going to help your ligaments, and it's also going to help your bone density, which is extremely important for older women because they don't do a whole lot of weight bearing stuff. Most jobs aren't even centered around that. So it's a lot of computer work, sitting down, and maybe some walking, but it's usually not a lot of load-bearing stuff. Now, there are women that have tough jobs, but that's not the majority. That's more of outliers. So you have all those advantages from being strong. Well, where people get hurt in weightlifting is one, they try to do too much too soon. Be patient. The other is they do the same lifts heavy all the time. So like Westside Barbell is based off powerlifting, squat, bench, and deadlift. Well, someone that hears max effort and they're doing squats, bench, and deadlifts, they automatically assume they're trying to max out on a bench, a squat, or a deadlift every week. That's where you get hurt. What Westside actually does is they pick different exercises that mimic or support their main exercise. So if you're doing deadlifts in competition, standard deadlifts, you can switch over to sumo deadlifts. It's still a hinge movement. You could go to a max on that particular thing. And a lot of times with max effort, it's on a 3-week pendulum swing. So you start the movement. You hadn't done it in a while. You're not going to be as strong because your body's not used to it. You'll add some weight the next week, and then you'll add some more weight. Then you'll go to a different exercise. On a bench press, you got pin presses. You got board presses. You can use a slingshot, which is like a big rubber band thing that guys use for benching. You can move your grips, you can change bars, you can do all of this, and you're trying to at least once a week on that movement push as much weight as you can for a rep. Now, if you're doing good mornings, stuff with lower back, maybe more of a, you know, 5-rep range type thing. I mean, because most guys aren't at our age are not trying to be professional powerlifters. But the parts of the conjugate system that works so well is because it combines and builds and strengthens all aspects of the body instead of just on the main lifts. So don't be afraid to go as heavy as you can on an overhead press. It's not going to hurt you. Because you're not going to do, you're just going up one time. And then over the next 2 weeks, you'll add some more weight, which you'll be able to do. And then you'll notice that it gets really hard to add more weight. That's okay. You just go to a different exercise. It could be dumbbell presses. It could be seeing how heavy you can do side or front laterals for 5 reps or something like that. The point is you pick something, just one thing. If you're doing a push day where you go heavy on that push, it could be 4 presses. I mean, I can go on and on about what these are. Tricep extensions, decline presses. You know, certain exercises like flies and stuff, probably not the best to max out on. You want to be able to have good control. But what you're doing is you're letting your body know that it's okay to be strong. And you're training it to be able to be strong. And that's radically different of doing 4 sets of 10 with a weight that you barely get breathing hard on your last rep. It's totally different in your body how this works. And you have more advantages as you get older. For whatever reason that people think once they get 35 or 40 that they turn into glass is because they think that they're glass. And they train their body to be glass, and it's easily breakable. But when you actually build strength into it in a smart, programmed, thought-out way, I've been doing this for, I guess, 3 years now, and I haven't torn anything, I haven't broke anything, it's no big deal. It's really no big deal, and I'm not nothing special. So don't be afraid of strength. You don't want to do all of your lifting at maximal weights. That would be classified as stupid. But if you're doing maximal effort and say today you're doing push and you do a seated overhead press from pins, which is one of my favorites, and you work up to say 245 where you maybe can get 250, but I mean you're straining pretty hard, you're done with that, and then you go on and then you get back into more bodybuilding type rep ranges. Now, when you can, when you're doing these other exercises that aren't submaximal, you're always continuously wanting to be able to add a pound here and a couple of pounds there, and or 5 or 10, depending on what it is you're doing. But you're not trying to go maximal effort on every set. That is how people get hurt. And a lot of the myth about getting hurt from weightlifting is from guys that are taking copious amounts of steroids, and their muscles get so big and so strong that their ligaments and tendons cannot keep up because they grow slower, and they use the steroids to help bump up weights without the base of the bones, the ligaments, and the tendons. That since they have so much power now, but it's like putting a 1200 horsepower motor in front of a stock transmission. Well, the transmission's going to blow. That's the ligaments and tendons. So you want to build up the transmission to be able to handle the motor, and you want to build up the rear end to be able to handle the transmission. You see how that goes. It should be all one big thing. So when you're thinking about ways to work out, you want to be stronger. If not, if you're, and I'm going to close with this, but I want you to think about what's actually happening at most gyms with older people, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. You go to the gym and you can say do a curl with a 15-pound dumbbell. Well, after a couple of months, that 15-pound is not going to be that difficult to do. But you stay with a 15 and you stay with the reps that you were doing and different things like that. So when you went to the gym originally, you had enough muscle to move a 15-pound dumbbell, say for a curl. But then what most people do is a year from now, if they've moved up at all, it's like a 20-pound dumbbell. Still something a middle grader should be able to do. But the older person came in most of the time because they neglected their body, they neglected their strength and all that stuff. And they stay at the same strength that they went into the gym at originally, even if they go year after year after year, because they are worried if they add weight, they're going to get hurt. Your body will adapt. Your body can grow muscle up to your 70s, and you can continually to gain strength easily through your 50s and 60s. You want to be smart, but you don't want to go at it from such a way, from so much caution, that really all you've done is stuck your body in a weakened state that you originally went to the gym with. After 3 or 4 years of lifting, you should look extremely different, you should feel extremely different, and you should be able to move a lot more weight than you could when you started. That way, you're actually progressing as someone in the weight room, instead of locking yourself in a time capsule of weakness. So that's my pitch on why you should think about getting stronger. Now, I am not saying that you need to go out and your goal should be at 55 years old and you never touched a weight, but you want to do anything possible to deadlift 1,000 pounds. You're probably going to get hurt. Or try to, you're like, in 2 years, I want to bench press 405, but now I can only bench 135 because that's what I see on social media and that's what the standard is or whatever. No. Once you get to our age, it's about declining and continuously improving. That should be your goal. The days of it just being about looks, that should be kind of over for older males. I mean, really? If you decide to do just straight bodybuilding, I get it. But is that really going to help you as you age just to have a six-pack of abs and a low body fat? No. As you get older, any doctor will tell you that you need to have some body fat on you. Not a big jelly belly, not having a big pecker garage hanging over yourself, but a reasonable amount of fat is a healthy animal. If you ever go deer hunting and you go to take apart the deer and you see there's no fat at the back of his stomach, and when you gut him and you see there's no fat around the kidneys and the big globs of tallow and stuff like that, you're dealing with a sick deer. Healthy animals, all animals, except for maybe weasels, they need to have body fat. It protects them for the future. So not a great big jelly belly. I'm not saying you need a big beer gut, but I would not be trying to get down to having a six pack just so I can look good when I go on vacation. It seems to me it's more prudent for a male that's getting older to do the things that's going to allow him to stay productive instead of just look like a fancy car. That's just kind of my way. So hopefully one of these two things will help you. And don't be scared of weight, and don't put up with manipulation, and don't train your children to be little manipulators. And if one of you in the family is a manipulator, trust me, they're learning from you. No matter what you say, they're going to watch your actions. So knock it off. And I will talk to y'all next time. Bye.